Well, we're all excited here. Are you excited there? Yes, you are. Come on, let's hear it for yourselves. What a great group. What endurance you have putting up with all this. But the exciting news is, and I mean that, it's time for the culmination of the longest listener winner. So this person can finally stop listening to What Do You Know? After all these years, they are freed from that circle of karma. That is What Do You Know listenership. And we have various people. Now, the problem is, so hard you read these things and people are testifying. And it's pretty nice, but it's hard for me to say, well, God, that's great, you know me. So we're going to read them and let you decide, okay. Arnold and I here, and we have an applause meter underneath the chicken. Technically, I guess it's a hen. Well, it's plastic, so it's nothing really. It's a piece of plastic, but that's an applause. Test out the applause meter. Watch it go up and down. Is the whoop working? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it works.
Okay. That's the sound it makes. So, okay. So, and then we're going to read these, and we're going to let Mike Arnold start out here. And then, you know, people at home, this is not even on, by the way, my monitor. Is this supposed to be a picture on this screen, or is it one of these?
Don't throw it. No, don't throw it.
What is this? Is like, where is this from?
I don't know.
Get anything cheaper? Where do they make stuff like this?
It's a monitor.
Like, yeah.
It's probably.
Where is it made?
I don't know. It's probably.
It's all in some other language. Made in China. Okay.
Yeah, it's made in China.
Not even made in the good part of China, though, apparently. But there's a good part, and there's other parts, outlying parts. They're just starting. What?
It's Ottawa, China?
Yeah, town of Ottawa, China.
Yeah. We have some people. Hey.
Town of Ottawa is everywhere. Okay, now you got to sign in to our thing. We've got either Brad's, you sign in Brad's, the brewer logo, or WPR there. Okay.
There it goes.
We're loading your personal settings. Yeah. What are they doing with my personal settings? When did I give them my personal settings?
It was quite a while ago. It was probably 25
Were you
years
there?
Ago.
Did you happen to see that? That's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. No, I can't really talk about it.
Do they therefore own my personal settings?
Yes, I believe we do. Yeah.
They can change them if they want to. Also.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
They can change your personal settings.
Yeah, that's
your
true.
Preferences.
Can they sell my personal settings to someone else
yeah,
who might then
absolutely.
Use my personal
yeah.
settings as their personal
yeah.
settings?
We actually use your personal settings to suggest new things to you.
I didn't get that memo.
It's like Google, you know.
I didn't get that.
Yeah,
memo.
Yeah.
What new things are you suggesting? The outfit?
Yeah.
I got a new outfit.
Yeah, those shoes, actually.
Shoes, yeah. I never wore these,
that's
and
how
I
you
miss
found them.
My shoes so much, I can't
right.
tell you.
So that's how you found the shoes?
They're Echoes, and they don't make them anymore, because I went on eBay and everything, trying to get another pair, see? Because they're made from, oxen hide. Water
oxen
buffalo
hide?
Or something.
They're made from water buffalo.
Niblock. Does that mean something? Niblock hide.
Huh.
You know how rare the Niblock is? And you can't get them. And so I've been wearing them every day, at least for 15 years, probably longer. And I thought, I don't care. I bought a new shirt. It's for you. I bought it for you. Come on, a little appreciation.
Undies?
Shoes. Okay. Anyhow, let's turn over to Mike now. And Mike, if you read the first one there, in the longest listener concert, finalist.
Did you have these in order?
There's no order.
Okay,
obviously.
Good. We'll start with Maureen Fares then. She's from Michigan City, Indiana.
Maureen?
This is her comment. Listen closely because you'll need to applaud based on whether this is a good application or not. The addiction started in 1988. While driving home from a Saturday morning at work, I stumbled on the show on WVPE and sat in my driveway listening for the remaining half hour of the show. Since I worked most Saturday mornings and was on call for the rest of the day, the quest of finding a way to listen to the show started. I bought a timer for my tape player at home, which worked some of the time. Then I bought a portable tape player, which I brought to work so I could flip the tapes when needed. The staff thought I was crazy looking for the spots with the best reception and trying to time tape flips.
You're making it sound a little too meaningful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you lighten it up a little bit? lighten
it up. Okay. Trying to time tape flips for times that was not in appointments. From there, I progressed to a tape player with a timer that worked most of the time. It was so disappointing to come home and find dead air or a local high school game recorded instead.
It's disappointing here, too.
We later moved to central New York where I couldn't find a local station, but then it became available most of the time on computer, and this was great. Now I had a way to listen, but dial-up connections didn't always work well.
Yeah.
We finally got DSL, and all was great, except when I had to work Saturdays. Eventually, we moved back to Indiana where I could listen on WBEZ from Chicago, but then they stopped airing it. I went into withdrawal. But then, podcast came out. I was saved. Now, I'm a faithful podcast listener buying the podcast through Audible. My husband and daughter have indulged me twice, going with me to Madison to catch a live show. Congrats on 30 years, Maureen.
All right, Maureen, let's hear it now for the machine. We are registering. Can you look around and see that?
I can't see.
Can't you see that? Can't reach around.
I think we need an assistant on this.
No. The chicken's going to fall over.
The chicken's going to fall over. So I have to be the judge on this. And can you move that back a little bit so I can see the air signal, too? Okay, you guys want to applaud for Maureen one more time right now? Ready?
What's the level on there, Mike? What's the level?
I'd say that's about 85, 90%.
85?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 85%? You want to stick with that? Okay, 85% for Maureen. We'll go through these again if we take the higher ones.
Yeah,
okay, now I got one here. Thank you very much. these are shorter. I took the short ones.
Of course you did.
Anne Marie Johnson from Poinciana, Florida. I've only been listening to What Do You Know for the past 10 years or so. How could I possibly be the longest listener? Because I listen far longer than 2 hours a week. Almost every night since we moved away from Wisconsin in 2009, I have listened to the show, the podcast, while going to sleep and whenever I wake up in the middle of the night, which is frequent. Me too. I figure it's on at least 30 minutes a night, sometimes more, not counting all the years I listened live while we lived in Wisconsin. Does anyone else listen to your show almost every day, repeating each episode at least twice? Sometimes more often.
Wow.
I know. It's a condition. Near daily listening for 10 years has to be longer than listening once a week for 30 years. If I get to attend a show, I promise to keep myself awake. That's Anne Marie Johnson. Your response for the machine.
That's a 95%.
95?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That was
a little
higher.
Did it sound louder than the first one?
It was a little louder, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Based on my scientific...
That puts her in the first place right now, but we got another one now.
Yeah. This is a long one.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just skim through it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Todd Giordano from Matituck, Connecticut, I believe. Maybe not. Hi there, Michael and or all. First off, a small gripe with my local public radio station, WSHU, out of Fairfield, Connecticut. Not that you guys can fix this, just sad. They made a series of programming changes this last year, and What Do You Know has been shrunk to an hour. I miss my longer version.
Who is this?
It's Todd Giordano.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Second, I was listening this past week and heard Michael talking about longtime listeners and anecdotes. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is any way I'm the longest listener since I only found the show around 2007, but I just wanted to take the opportunity to share. I was living a bit like a gypsy, mostly within the confines of Manhattan, working as a theater electrician. My hopes were always to perform or create a show, but I got sidetracked for a while, hanging lights. I had purchased a battery-powered 9-volt small transistor radio off of eBay somewhere during that time period, and perhaps playing into the mystique of radio, my love of the medium, or the romantic ideals of years gone by. I was seeing a girl, though I suppose I never had the courage to outright say that we were actually dating. She was a New York City native.
Jeez, you're getting into this. It's really disturbing. Very disturbing.
Wouldn't it be neat if we had music in the background, too?
No.
We'd go for walks around the city, and she'd reveal tiny tea shops or cafes that I never knew existed, fun dessert places, along with the oldest pizza place in Manhattan. And we were always good for cannoli from Little Italy, a frequent take-home snack after our adventures out in the city.
We were always good for cannoli.
Cannoli, yeah. Often in the evening.
That's quotable. I'm going to write
that. This is where, like, a little baseline would be cool. Often in the evening, we'd cook up a quick meal of sausage and pasta for a nice meal. Perhaps some Pinot Noir. And of course, rounding out the meal with a wonderful, genuine NYC cannoli. We'd be preparing the food and whatnot while tuning in the little transistor radio that could. I started to regard it as my magic radio, because you'd discover things that you'd swear were years faded and extinct. Radio plays would crackle to life. Wonderful jazz stations playing all kinds of jazz. Strange and bizarre radio shows, not always in English. They were in Spanish. 5 years of Spanish. Yeah, music, styles of all kinds, and all of that appearing through the fine control of the tuning dial, all the wonderful hint of static that we'd roll the knob up and down the station. Somewhere in the time, I discovered What Do You Know? And it's been a favorite ever since. Michael just plows ahead with an understated style of a workman who knows his skill set.
Skill set.
Despite Michael's self-deprecating style, I truly believe there has been such a talent and a knack for tying the show together. The show has become one of my favorites of public radio, up there with that other guy. Mm. I think he's talking about Steve Inskeep, don't you think?
Probably.
A source of inspiration and something that fuels my own creative hopes for some sort of outlet of my own, no matter how it may take shape. We gather so much along the way, it's hard to not recognize it's all inspiration or some sort of fuel to prepare us towards our own journey. Thank you for being inspiring in so many subtle ways. Appreciate the fun and insight every week. All the best. Todd Giordano.
Love it. Never been called subtle before. For Todd, the poet, Giordano. Welterweight.
That might have been a 98.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
boy.
A little bit higher.
Todd. The poet, Giordano.
Yeah, yeah. The music probably
New York City
it.
Cannoli man strikes again. That was very good. And well delivered.
Oh.
It's hard to follow your act here. And we know it's an act, don't we?
Yeah, it's an act.
This is from Joseph Gennaro Espinoza Jr. in Denver. Who says, first off, thank you for your show. I may not be the absolute longest listener, but I'm one of the most dedicated. Quick story. I was self-employed, and my business left me with a good deal of downtime. One day, I was sitting on the couch and thinking about getting a part-time job, but it would have to be a really part-time job to allow me to work at my convenience. No wonder he likes the show. This is me. An old Leave It to Beaver was on television, and the episode was the one where Wally got a job working as a bicycle ice cream seller. I thought to myself... This is the first time anyone thought to themselves during Leave It to Beaver, right? I thought to myself, that would be a good part-time job, having grown up with an ice cream truck in my neighborhood. I was looking through the Help Wanted in the newspaper while I was watching the TV, and lo and behold, honest, there was an ad for a position driving an ice cream truck, and it was just down the block from where I lived.
Wow.
Synchronicity in spades. I got the job, and I was allowed to work weekends when I was in town. It was fun, but a bit boring at times, so I started listening to my local NPR station. Okay, we're getting to it, I think, here. Where I came upon your show. Instantly addicted. This was 20 years ago, and I listened faithfully every Saturday and on Sunday when they replayed it. Then all of a sudden, they stopped carrying your show. Don't know why, but it really upset me. I even called during their pledge drive and told them I would never pledge until they started carrying your show again. They hung up on me. However, thanks to technology, I found your podcast on TuneIn Radio, and now, once again, I can listen to your wonderful program. Yay for me. 20 years later, I'm still driving an ice cream truck on weekends. Me too. This is great. During the summer, and I am still able to listen to your show. Thanks again for your show and for keeping the music from the truck from driving me crazy. Sincerely, Joseph Espinoza. Can we see the response for Joseph Espinoza Jr.?
Whoa.
Got a good response, Joe.
That was the first one that sort of went over 100 a little bit. So
went over 100?
Yeah, it was into the red.
Over 100%.
I think that's 100. I'm just making up numbers.
Well,
okay.
I have a question.
How is that possible?
If there's more than one that's like 100, then how do we pick?
Yeah, good
we
question.
We could do like a semi-finalist.
It's a good question. Thank you for that question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
What?
I don't know. Go ahead.
No.
Oh, it's my turn.
It's like Schrodinger's cat.
Multiple
realities. I
don't
know anything about that. Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yes, got another one?
Yeah, Mark Steingraber. Okay. He's from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Round of applause for La Crosse.
What, are you running the show now? Jeez.
No, I run the applause thing, so yeah. I can do that. Having
well,
grown
then
up,
you just press the button. You don't have to say a round of applause for La Crosse.
Oh, that's true.
That's the host job to say something like that. You got the button there, and you got that air horn.
I don't have an air horn today.
That's perfect.
It's a good day.
Yeah.
Having grown up in a household where WPR is a radio staple, I'm pleased to report that three generations of my family have been among What Do You Know's faithful listeners as well as occasional audience members over the past three decades until death did them part. Looking for a good excuse to spend a fun day in Madison on my birthday, I attended my first What Do You Know broadcast on February 14th, 1987 in Vilas Hall. Having enjoyed this free event as well as complimentary tea and rolls from Victor's, I avoided the dart that was errantly thrown that day to live another year.
Wait a minute. Who is this?
This is Mark Steingraber.
Mark Steingraber?
Yeah. He was almost hit by a dart, so that's pretty good.
Okay. A Dodge dart?
No. No. Okay. I don't think so, unless you had those back then.
I had one.
I decided to make this journey from La Crosse an annual event. Thus, I returned 364 days later to attend the February 13th, 1988 broadcast with my parents, UW class of 1938 and class of 1940 alums, as well as my soon-to-be fiancé. Your conversation that day turned to high school reunions who in the audience had recently attended one. My 69-year-old mother raised her hand, and you proceeded to interview her regarding the 50-year class reunion she recently attended in New Orleans. Having recounted bygone... Yeah, there you go. See?
I do.
Having recounted bygone events from her childhood here as well, she went on to introduce her husband and how they met in summer school at UW. My dad was repeating a calculus class. My fiancé-to-be and me, the youngest of four sons at 29 years old, her baby, who you quick-wittedly commented was, in fact, a baby with a beard. That was funny.
See, now there you go.
Sorry. As a keepsake of this event, we still have a stoneware crock with your likeness on it somewhere around the house.
It's
really?
It's a crock.
You have a crock?
It's a crock.
Wow. Testifying that we were, in fact, feted guests on your show. Right. To our delight, my fiancé's sister recorded the entire show on cassette tape, which we still have and play on occasion. Unfortunately, my mother passed away from a chronic illness less than 2 years later, just 6 months after we were married. She never got to meet our four children, who now range in age from 16 to 24, but due to that chance encounter with you 27 years ago, they now have been able to hear her talk and laugh with you in her northernized New Orleans accent, so often mistaken here in Wisconsin for a Brooklyn accent, yeah, and get to audibly experience this grandparent that they had never been able to personally meet. Since then, my wife and I have been able to take in one of your shows here in La Crosse, and in 2009, before our oldest child left home for college, the six of us came to Madison again to celebrate my Valentine's birthday by attending What Do You Know and enjoying burgers after the show at Dottie's Dumpling Dowry. Congratulations on 30 fun years. Thanks for these wonderful memories and those yet to come. P.S. Please don't host another show outside of Madison on Valentine's Day again. Mark Steingraber.
Mark Steingraber.
Another one? Okay. That was another one that hit, I think it hit
over 100%.
Do you guys think that's true? Did you look? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, over 100%.
So that was another 100.
All right. So we got some interesting results here. I got one shorter one here. Somehow I ended up with all the shorter ones. I guess because I handed them out. This is from Giselle Roche in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Dear Michael, there's nothing like a deadline to kick oneself into high gear. I am perhaps not your longest listener, however, I am your most devoted. Every Saturday morning here in Murfreesboro, I turn on every radio in the house. I turn every radio in the house off.
What?
Every Saturday morning here in Murfreesboro, I turn every radio in the house off at 10 a.m. and listen to last week's What Do You Know show via podcast. Yes, I do. This is because my fabulous local station, WPLN in Nashville, made the outrageous decision to axe What Do You Know, and in its place is another show I'll choose not to name, but that I deplore.
Mm.
Her words. I can't even tolerate its opening jingle. So I putz around doing chores, gardening, and staring into space while my ears are filled with Ooh La La Michael. Ooh La La. Yeah, two La La's. This all began many years ago. I recall vividly being outside with my darling toddling daughters, gardening away in my fairy garden made just for their imaginary pleasure. It had dawned on me, I love Michael Feldman. I should have let you read this one.
Oh, really? Yeah.
No, but you'd mock it.
I'm lovingly reading these
things. One day it dawned on me, I love Michael Feldman. I don't know much. But what I do know is that from 10 to 11 a.m. every Saturday morning, Monsieur Michael F. delighted my girls and me as we flitted around the garden playing with all the fairies. I'm thinking Tombstone for this one. It's a good one, don't you think? Alas, it's May the 2nd. I must now send this brief note of loyalty and gratitude. Keep on it. You are fantastic. Most sincerely, Giselle Roche.
Murfreesboro. I can't say it, but you know, there's an iron there. How did Giselle do?
I think that was around 85 to 90.
Okay. I don't care. She loves me. This is the love I've been waiting for.
Do I have two here I have to read?
What?
I guess I do.
You have two?
Yeah.
Which two do you have?
There's one at the bottom. Tim Wendlin.
Oh, yeah. You can read both of them.
Okay. I'll start with Jan. She just gave her name Jan.
Okay, Jan.
Should I start now?
Yeah, I thought you had.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. This is from Jan from Wales, Wisconsin. This is to enter the longest listener contest. Uh-huh. It is very likely I qualify as the longest listener, or possibly one of the longest listeners. Here are the details. My youngest son was born on May 23rd, 1985 at Waukesha Memorial Hospital. I recall it was a Thursday evening. The next day, the OBGYN said that I should be prepared to go home on Saturday. It was the first cutback of hospital stays, or at least as it impacted me. I immediately quipped, how about Sunday? Which she allowed. Sunday was sunny and humid, and if I recall, it appeared there would be a storm. My mother-in-law had arrived to help with her younger children, and my husband had installed a window air conditioner. This was my third son. My first son was born in Duluth, Minnesota, and by late summer 1978, my husband and I and our first son had moved to southeast Wisconsin. In May, everyone in my family has a May birthday except for my husband, now ex since 1996. And when our second son was born in Waukesha in May of 1979, I ordered a gadget like the clapper, but it worked based on air and not a sound that activated an electrical appliance. I'm sorry. That activated
Could
an electrical.
Could you start from the beginning of that sentence again?
Yeah. I think I need some music behind this again.
No,
a little bass.
Start from the beginning of the sentence.
Yeah.
No,
so,
too much bass. A little piano.
Come on. I ordered a gadget like the clapper, but it worked based on air and not sound that activated an electrical appliance that was connected to a clapper-like gadget. When rocking, feeding, reading books, talking to the 1979 newborn, Mark, the clapper-type gadget was my extension to the outside world, and it was reactivated as an essential at the return home at the birth of my third son. When our third son was born, as described above, I believe that the Sunday discharge meant that the first, or maybe second, but I think first, What Do You Know, show aired on June 1. I am sure I was listening via the clapper to public radio while I was sitting in a rocking chair, rocking Joel and probably at least one of his brothers and feeding this new baby. Through the years, I've been a very regular listener, whether married or divorced, at home, driving, running errands, or whatever is occurring, like inclement weather, watching soccer games from the car. I also attended live performances several times, either at the Madison, Waukesha, maybe Milwaukee, including an anniversary show in about 1995 at the Wisconsin Union Theater with my children. There were times that I thought, What Do You Know was one of the few things that brought a smile or laugh in my weekend as the marriage turned sour, but my children were always a special light in my life. I am listening as I write this, since there is now a deadline to submit. Happy anniversary, and soon it will be Joel's birthday, too. He and his wife live in Florida, and each of my sons and I will be celebrating our birthdays in May. Congratulations.
Whoa! Jen in Wales.
Does that look like 95 to you, or 100? Is it close? 95? Yeah, 95? I think that's a 95.
And well, this would be the last one then.
No, there's one more too.
What?
I have one more. It's very short, but you go first. Or whatever.
No, the one that you have, I'm saying, is the last.
Oh, is that it? So yeah. I should read that one.
Yeah. Well, I just like to explain that this is this farmer. What's his name there?
Tim Wendland. Yeah, Tim was on last week.
Yeah. Tim actually called in the last week. We were doing the last chance to get in on the last, long listener, and he was in the middle of a row of soybeans. He was on his tractor, and it was very interesting. Actually, he explained to me actually what was going on there on the row, and he said he pretty much just has to drive it down the row, which is why it was hard for him to call in while he was actually planting his soybeans, because they have to, I mean, it does it automatically. I said, if you miss one, you have to go back and get it. He said, No, I don't miss him anymore, he said. So anyhow, he called and said he was a big fan of the show, and I said, well, listen, you got to get in something, And he said, well, I can't do it. I'm on the tractor now. I said, no. I said, when you're done, you get something into us, and then this is what it was. So it's not – it's better on the air, but
yeah,
it's a summary kind of what he said.
It's still pretty funny.
Still pretty good.
Okay, this is from Tim. Michael, I called in on Saturday, May 2nd, and talked to you while planting soybeans. I think I have listened to you as long as you've been on the air. I also liked your TV show, although my wife made me watch it in the living room instead of the bedroom. Because I would wake her up by laughing too loudly. That's why she didn't want it in the bedroom. I hope to be selected for the contest. I think it would be awesome. Thank you, Tim.
Tim, farming out there, your soybeans, ladies and gentlemen. He's out there on that row.
Yeah, I think that's a 10-pounder too. That's how they talk in CB talk. Remember that?
No, what does that mean?
It's like 100%. It's over 100.
Okay.
It's so, when it goes
really
far.
We got a runoff here, don't we?
We do, yeah.
Okay, between Tim, who you just heard, the farmer.
The farmer.
The soybean farmer, and Mark Stein...
The baby with a beard, and his mother from New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah, and his mother. Yeah, yeah, mother, the story. And then Joe Espinoza Jr., who was the ice cream truck, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And I think those three. Okay, so we go through again and see how are we going to do this? We'll have to judge mainly by...
Yes,
we'll judge, be 100, right?
Well, you never know. I mean, the audience, basically you can cheer even louder for the ones that you really like. If you yell and scream, this will really push things.
All right, so let's start here. Joe Espinoza Jr., the ice cream truck story, and our long association through the ice cream truck. Okay, got that?
Yeah, there were a few peaks around 100, but it was mostly in the 90s.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Mark Stern Graber, the story about his mother was New Orleans.
That was a little higher.
That pinned my ears.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And so the only one left then is Tim, our soybean farmer. Sounds like Mark Steingraver.
Yeah,
doesn't
I think
it?
Mark is our winner. Definitely.
Mark Steingraver wins our longest listener contest. Mark, congratulations. We hope we can get you back here, and you and someone to accompany you will come fly you to beautiful Madison, Wisconsin, capital of the People's Republic of Wisconsin. And you'll have a wonderful time here, including things such as this.
Yes, a hotel stay for two at one of Madison's finest hotels. Complimentary transportation around town during your stay.
They didn't say which one, did they?
No, they said your choice. Your choice of a couple fine hotels. Mighty fine. And dinner at your choice of one of Madison's premier restaurants.
Like which one?
I don't know.
Okay.
A number of premier restaurants in this town. Yeah.
Yeah. One of many premier restaurants. You can only have one premier. And various other gifts and tchotchkes. And stuff. Congratulations, Mark Steingraber. And that's for June 13th is when our anniversary show, or the Funny You Don't Look 30 show, will be. Mark will be our special, the Steingrabers, I guess, will be our special guest here for that show. And we also have Ben Sidran will be on there, my friend John Seeger from Milwaukee, and various people coming back over the years. to have a little happy birthday party. And there will be a little something afterwards outside. Ice cream social or hot dogs or... Huh? How is that working so far? Yeah, no, but I mean, what is it?
Maybe
what is it?
Some gum?
Yeah, TBA. He always talks like that. What? Hot dogs or something. I don't know. We'll come here and then we'll go out there. We should have a softball game or something. That'd be cool.
Probably one of the local breweries are going to like brew up a special batch of beer that's called the Feldman Lager.
Yeah.
We're still working on that.
Okay. We're at loggerheads over it, though, so it's been a long dispute.